Cliff would start an annual convention that had been, they really tried to start that in the 70s, didn't work with the failures there, going private in the 80s, but Cliff resurrects that, where you bring in the franchises, you recognize those pioneers, like a Marvin Gyrus or a Ralph Mason, franchisee of the year, and this is why he's successful, and use him as a model. So that new franchise group that you might have in Jacksonville, Florida, knows who to call. Marvin, you know, here's what I'm facing. What would you suggest? So it's sharing all this information, a kind of a brotherhood, sisterhood of people within this network, where there's motivation out on the ground. There is planning and experimentation central, sharing of ideas, finding things that are mutually beneficial. And then we who are eating at Sonic that like the commercials are buying the stock. And the price of stock would go up until he splits. So generally, it would start around $10 and get more valuable, about $30. Cliff liked to split. So it goes back down, rises. How many splits do we go through in 30 or 40 years that Cliff was there? And so people are making money. Gene Rainbolt. Famous banker, still alive, one of my heroes in life. He was starting banking in the 1950s and 60s, is there in the 80s, and helps formulate the new banking system. There are three banks who are really taking the lead in the new banking laws after the failure of banking in the 80s. And out of that comes Bank First. And Gene was on the board. He was in Shawnee. He knew Troy. Troy wanted his expertise. They needed a finance guy. Well, Gene had been on that bank for many years. When I interviewed Gene, I remember his quote so clearly. He said, Bob, he says, I've been involved in business recruitment, retention, expansion in all sectors of the economy, from all the way from finance to trucking, to railroads and everything. He says, I've seen everything. But he said, there has been more wealth created at the grassroots level in Oklahoma by Sonic than any other business in our entire history. Wow. Because that kid flipping hamburgers, who proved himself to that owner, making a little bit of salary, but making a you-know-what load of money at the end of the year, is then giving his own restaurant. He does well. He expands to another. He finds another kid flipping hamburgers or waiting on cars. Say, hey, you go over here. I'll be part owner. And so you take all of these, the genealogy mm-hmm. of all of these franchisees, and you're expanding, and the genealogy is like a family tree growing across the top, nurtured by these pioneers, led by Cliff Hudson, before Troy Smith, and it's expanding and it's creating more wealth at the grassroots level, where those kids in Shawnee, those kids in Fairview never had many chances. They would have had to move to Oklahoma City or Tulsa or Los Angeles or at that time Dallas. My son went to Denver. And so you have this out-migration of talent. Sonic kept that talent in town, in small towns. Rural economic development. Of course, they would expand to urban areas today. I don't know how many Sonics there are in Tulsa and Oklahoma City, probably more in Oklahoma City than Tulsa, but I'd guess it's more than 100. Mm-hmm. But I know they're everywhere. But the business model could be adapted to different demographics, different regions, different climate, different styles of leadership. And of course, financing would change. So that would go all the way from the local banker putting up a little money for the building, to savings and loans, to pension funds, to corporate bankers, to leverage buyout. And so the financing would change over those years. And, of course, things are more expensive now. So to start a franchise, instead of $500 to buy the franchise and getting three partners willing to, you know, put up a little bit of money, today the cost would be much higher. So how do you finance that? So typically, Sonic now will sell a region. So let's say John and Bob want to get into Sonic. We say, hey, we like that brand. We like that model. And we're here in New Jersey, in southern New Jersey or northern New Jersey, and don't have enough food. It's a little bit of a food desert in terms of quick serve. Well, they might put together a capital to get a territory in which they can put 10 franchises. Well, let's start with this one, this one, this one, and then they know they can expand there. So that's been kind of the history of Sonic in more recent times. So financing has changed, communication, of course, with computers. Now you have instant access to training, quality control, feedback. When I've been on vacation with Cliff, the first thing he does in the morning, he pulls up the returns from the day before, and he's analyzing, you know, what stores are doing well, what are not, what's the profit margin, what's the gross, what's the net, what's the turnover of people putting, you know, boots on the ground. And, of course, he has an entire team doing that, but they're keeping track. Well, the computers allow all that. So that's changing the business plan. Without computers, it never could have expanded it to the size it is now. Without television, it could not have promoted it the way it is now. So, yeah, all of this comes together to really explain the story of Sonic.